Amen. What a wonderful, wonderful anthem. Crossing over the Jordan River into the Promised Land, it became a powerful image for generations of slaves in America, and it's still such a powerful image for any of us who know that our struggles are not the last word, who trust that God's promise is sure, and there is a better future in store for us still. Crossing the Jordan, for the Israelites, it meant finally reaching the Promised Land after generations of slavery in Egypt and 40 years of struggle in the wilderness. But crossing over the Jordan, that's just the start of their new life. The book of Joshua, from which we just read, chronicles in the chapters that follow, chronicles what happens next, as bit by bit, the Israelites who have crossed over into Canaan settle into their promised land. And it isn't easy. Occasionally, they're welcomed by someone who already lives there, like Rahab. But far more often, they are in battle with those who already inhabit the land. By the end of the book of Joshua, they finally won the wars. They finally settled into the land. And then each of the 12 tribes of Israel, that is the descendants of the 12 sons of Jacob, each of those tribes is given a particular territory as their own. Our second lesson comes from the very end of the book, after all of this has happened, after all the battles have been fought, after they divided the territory, and their leader Joshua is towards the end of his life. Joshua has led the people faithfully through their struggles. Now he gives his last will and testament to those people that he's led. Listen as Joshua invites them to look backwards to God's faithfulness, and then invites them to look forward to their own choice to commit to the Lord. You're welcome to follow along in the bulletin if you like as I read our second lesson, selected verses from Joshua 24. Listen to the word of God. Then Joshua gathered all the tribes of Israel, saying, "Thus says the Lord, long ago your ancestors, Terah and his sons Abraham and Nahor, lived beyond the Euphrates River and served other gods. Then I took your father Abraham from beyond the river, led him through the land of Canaan, and made his offspring many. I gave him his son Isaac, and to Isaac I gave Jacob and Esau. I gave Esau the hill country, but Jacob and his children went down to Egypt. Then I sent Moses and Aaron. I plagued Egypt and brought your ancestors out of Egypt. You came to the Red Sea, and the Egyptians pursued with chariots and horsemen. I put darkness between you and the Egyptians and made the sea come up and cover them. Then afterwards you lived in the wilderness a long time. Then I brought you, says the Lord, I brought you to the Jordan, and I gave you a land on which you had not labored, and towns you had not built, and you live in them, and you eat the fruit of the vineyards and the olive yards that you did not plant." Then Joshua said, "Now therefore, revere the Lord, and serve him in sincerity and in faithfulness. Now, if you are unwilling to serve the Lord, choose this day whom you will serve, whether the gods your ancestors served in the region beyond the river or in Egypt, or the gods of the peoples in whose land you are living. But as for me and my household, we will serve the Lord. And the people answered, "Far be it from us that we should forsake the Lord to serve other gods, for it is the Lord our God who brought us and our ancestors up from the land of Egypt, out of the house of slavery. He protected us all along the way we went and among all the peoples through whom we passed. Therefore, we also will serve the Lord, for he is our God." Then Joshua said to the people, "You are witnesses to yourselves that you have chosen the Lord to serve him." And they said, "We are witnesses." So Joshua sent the people away to their inheritances. This is the word of the Lord. Will you pray with me? Gracious God, open our hearts that we might hear the word you have for us this day, that we might look back and see where you have been, and look forward and choose whom we will serve. In Christ we pray. Amen. Choices. We make 1,000 choices every single day, from the moment we get up till our head hits the pillow at night. Pedestrian choices like what to eat for breakfast. Annoying choices like how to get around the traffic jam. Happy choices like what to get your best friend for their birthday. Choices. Every day we make thousands of them. And then, now and then, we find ourselves immersed in choices, drowning in choices that seem both urgent and sacred and also arbitrary. I felt that way this month as we were cleaning out my father's apartment. We're blessed for the reason that we're doing it. He's moved into assisted living, and he's adjusting very well. He enjoys playing duplicate bridge with his old friends. He lives near my brother, his favorite bridge partner, and he's receiving the help he needs day and night for his best life. But once we got him settled into his new place, it was time to clean out his old place. And boy, did we have a lot of choices to make. This week, before his apartment lease expired, we finished moving out everything he didn't take with him, which was a lot. Some of it went into the dumpster. Some of it came to rummage. Thank you, rummage. Most of it came to our house, to our basement and our dining room and our garage, where it will live until my siblings and their families come at Thanksgiving and everybody chooses what they will want for themselves. Many of you have faced similar choices, choices about what to keep and what to throw. And most sadly, those choices usually come when a loved one passes away. I've been through that too, when our mom died and we needed to figure out which jewelry to keep in the family and what to give away, what clothing, if any, to keep for posterity and what we should just discard. I went through it again when my friend Denise died and I helped her daughter sort through their possessions. And I experienced again when I helped my sister clean out her ex-husband's apartment when he died late last year. It is hard to decide. It is hard to choose what to keep and what to pass along. Maybe you've been there too. When someone dies, it feels like it is their whole life, their whole memory we're dispensing with. The most ordinary things, like shoes, and papers, and toothbrushes, they take on a peculiarly sacred feeling when someone we love dies. We know they'll never use them again. But dispensing with them feels so final, as if we're dispensing not only with their things, but with their very lives. The choices we make, they're poignant and painful, and very often packed with meaning. When someone dies, we are required to spend an immense amount of energy on the things we inherit from them. But it's made me wonder, what if we spent as much time, as much energy, on the invisible gifts that we inherit too? What if we spent as much time pondering the wisdom that they've left to us, born of their struggles and their failures and their victories and their hopes? This is just the question, I think, that faces us today on All Saints' Day, as we remember those who have gone before. Because our inheritance is so much more than the things they have left us, All Saints' Day invites us to look deeper than that, to sort through the wisdom that they've left us. And the question then is, how do we do that sorting? I think our second lesson gives us a wonderful template to begin. The lesson opens with an invitation to look backwards, to remember the challenges our loved ones faced and how God remained faithful to them. Long ago, says the Lord, long ago your ancestors, Terah and his sons, lived beyond the Euphrates and served other gods. And then I took Abraham and led him through Canaan and made his offspring many. The lessons and blessings from God's presence from generation to generation is recounted through Isaac and Jacob and Jacob's offspring who went to Egypt and Moses who led them across the Red Sea. God was with their ancestors all along. Looking backwards and remembering where we come from, that's the place we're invited to start. I loved an exercise we did at the women's retreat last weekend. When we were asked to talk about the meaning of our names, many of us talked not only about the national origin of our family names, we also talked about stories associated with them. Astonishingly enough, at least three of the women gathered there noted that their ancestors were horse thieves in Britain. Who'd have thought? And many also told of hardships that propelled their families to the new world. They told of challenges and opportunities, of fear and faithfulness. It reminded me that we all come from somewhere. And the stories we tell, the stories we remember of resilience and courage help to shape us today. But it's not just the long ago memory that shapes us. Our recent history matters too. I can't tell you how moving it is to preside at funerals and memorial services and hear the testimonies. There's always a common thread. There are never stories of the things that are left behind. There are always stories about the experiences, values, and memories our loved ones leave us. That's no accident. There are never stories about the things. There are always stories about the memories and experiences At my aunt's funeral 2 weekends ago, we were reminded that her marriage to my uncle was, shall we say, hurried. They fell in love at a USO dance, and 9 months later, my cousin came along. Their life wasn't always easy. Whose is? But they made the most of their marriage with humor and grace, perseverance and humility, which their children and grandchildren observed and took in. And I wonder, as you observe those you consider close to you, whom you have loved and lost, what is it that you most treasure from their lives? What is it that you never want to forget? What is it that you want to pass on, whether it's to your children or to a friend or to neighbors or to this whole world? What is it that matters most in the inheritance that you have received? What do you hope to pass along so that at the end of your own life, others might also treasure those things in you too? What is it you will keep? That's the first invitation that Scripture gives us in the sorting of the treasures we've received, to look backwards, to take time, to take as much time as we do with the things, to take time to sort through the values, the experiences, the struggles, the faithfulness of those who came before, to remember what they've been through. Because remembering helps those seeds take root and grow and bear fruit in our own lives. Remembering intentionally, long after the funeral is over, that's what will keep those treasures alive in us for years to come. And the second invitation Scripture gives us is this: to look forward. Not just to look backwards, but to look forward, to be intentional about our own choices especially, of whom or what we will serve all the days of our lives. Joshua reminds the Israelites that their ancestors had to choose whom they would serve. Abraham had to choose between the gods of the place where he was born and the Lord God who called him into covenant. Jacob's sons had to choose between the gods of Egypt, where they settled, or the Lord God who had provided for them in the famine. Now it was time for this generation to choose. Would they choose the gods of the land of Canaan, where they were settling down, or would they choose the Lord God who brought them out of slavery in Egypt? And if we think our own ancestors didn't have to make hard choices like that, we are sadly mistaken. My great-grandparents, who left Turkey, had to choose whether they would convert to Islam to save their skin or cling to their Christian faith. I thank God they chose to keep their faith instead of bowing to their fear. A man who was like a mentor to me back at Fourth Presbyterian Church, one of the members of the congregation, a man who was a mentor to me, I remember how he was given an amazing opportunity in civic leadership. And he took that position only to find that one major donor held the purse strings and placed demands on him that were so unethical and counter to the calling of the institution that he served. I thank God that my mentor chose to serve with integrity instead of bowing to expediency. And my guess is that every single one of us here has people in our lives who set that kind of firm example for us, who kept the faith, who refused to bow to the gods of popularity, who refused to bow to the gods of money, who refused to bow to the gods of fame, refused to bow to the gods of fitting in, refused to bow to the gods of expediency or any other gods who came before them, urging them to come along. As you look at your own life, as you look at the lives of those you loved who have passed on to that other shore, remembering their integrity, it makes us proud of them, but it does so much more. It gives us courage and strength to choose the Lord our God instead of choosing from the panoply of seductive options facing us on any given day. Choices. Our ancestors long ago, our loved ones newly gone, they left so very much to us, so many things, so much jewelry and clothing and whatever else they left behind. We have so many choices to make then about what to keep and what to throw. But they left us so much more than things. Today, let's take the time to remember their past, to remember and cherish the inheritance we've been given from them. And then let's take the time to choose for ourselves, to choose what we will treasure, the values they left us, the example they gave us, the courage they modeled for us. And let's look to our future and choose to serve the Lord our God who walked with our ancestors long ago and in the recent past. Let us choose the Lord our God who will be faithful to us, just as God has been faithful to those whom we grieve, even to this day. Amen.